Harrigan.
My name is Marge Stevens Ling, and I'm a shareholder in Sea Alaska, the 12th region. The land claims, the original intent was for the natives to own the land that they had already inhabited from years back. They didn't mention anything about a corporation or money. There was no monetary ideas in the intent of the original land claims. And they didn't ask for a corporation. What for? It isn't benefiting. It doesn't benefit the shareholders. The only ones that have a place to call their own are the board members. The shareholders that live here, that used to live in Alaska, a lot of them are disinterested. They're disenchanted because why should they come to the meetings? They're not getting anything out of it. They don't understand stocks or bonds or what have you. They don't even know how to vote. And this proxy voting is for the birds because it can be tampered with. And why should the corporations hire solicitors at $10 an hour when these people don't know how to vote? If they have so much money, we don't get any money. Where do they get all this money to pay their solicitors? And the corporations, who asks for them and who needs it? And if Sea Alaska is worth $90 million, why do they have so many unfinished projects? Because lack of money? Or where did the money go? And shareholders, ever since the inception of Sea Alaska, they have been at odds, brother against brother. They don't take care, they don't look out for their own relatives or their families the way they used to in the olden days. There's disunity. They just won't look after themselves. And this being a Sea Alaska shareholder has put a kink in a lot of federal and state programs that were going before this came along. Like this, the Indian Health Service. I'll take that one as for instance. Because we do not live, as Alaska Native, if we do not live in Alaska for 6 months, we are not eligible for contract health service according to their 6 months residency policy. And down here, if you're not a reservation Indian, you have to stand in line. They also discriminate against you if you are not a reservation Indian where contract health services are concerned. And the senior citizens, as a shareholder, if they are on a fixed income, they are afraid if they do get anything, if they are dependent under Social Security, if they draw their husband's, you know, pension. Whatever they get from Sea Alaska or any place else is deducted, and which they don't understand, and no one has gone to the trouble of explaining to them that they have, if they are a dependent Social Security recipient, that's the way it goes. If you draw on your own, there's no problem there. But education has always been stressed, like the other gentleman that I can't pronounce his name said, they needed education long before Sea Alaska's inception, which they didn't get. And as a shareholder, I don't want anyone telling me what to do with my shares, especially by a corporation that has been accused of mismanagement or what have you. And this for the new natives. We had to fight for ours. They can do the same. By 1991, I'll be pushing 70. I'm not going to live forever. Maybe they are. Fine, they can do their own fighting. I'm tired. And my grandchildren are so deluded, they wouldn't qualify anyway. And it's just getting worse. So what is Sea Alaska's definition of native control? When you buy private property, you don't control it. And you don't have, You can't use it to borrow money unless you have the title to that land or property in your hand. So what's this about the land? And if you do own land or property, even if you do not develop it, which happened to me, if some developer comes along and wants to put in a road and demands that the city or the state put in a road, you will be charged and you are liable for developing and improvement assessment taxes, no matter what anybody says. The state or the city, I doubt the federal would stick its head into, you know, face into the city or the state policy where taxes are concerned. But it happens if you don't develop your land and somebody else does around you, you are still going to be assessed for taxes for improvement and developing. As for this deadline, like I said, I'm pushing 70. I'll be pushing 70 by then. So I don't see anything in this extension for me. And like Martha said, she is getting ready for retirement, and I had to. So we would like to have something to look forward to. Before I got sick, I had my plans made out, what I was going to do, but cancer put a kink in my plans, so there it went. And still, you'd like to have something to look forward to. But like I say, no matter what they do, you have to consider the state and federal policies where these ongoing programs that were instituted by the federal government. When the state changes their rules, and if there is no one there to fight against it, you lose whatever you had before. I don't know what other way to put it, but I know I was there. I was caught between what you call catch 22, where your Indian Health Contract Services are concerned. You're not eligible if you don't live up in Alaska. And down here, it's the same way. Their excuse is their lack of funds, but their reservation Indians come first down here. And your heritage and your culture, if you don't teach it to your children, they'll never have it. It's up to the family. It doesn't have anything to do with Sea Alaska. It's up to the people. If you want them to learn it, they'll learn it. If not, it's lost. And that's it.
Thanks very much. I'll tell you in a sec. I think. Oh. Yeah, maybe I could take advantage of this pause to tell you about the response we've had in Alaska. This is really the last hearing of the commission. We've spent a whole year traveling in Alaska. We've been to 60 villages and towns and heard from more than 1,400 Alaska natives. I can tell you that. In Alaska, especially in the villages, there is great dissatisfaction with the land claim settlement. They feel that instead of settling their claims, it's called the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, they say, well, look, this was supposed to be a settlement. A settlement means things are settled. But instead, we may lose the land. So it wasn't a settlement after all. We were supposed to get the land. We didn't really get it. It was, as Sid Casey said this afternoon, it was quite a telling point. He said, we were told to put everything we had. Now he's talking about the land they got under the settlement and the money. He said, we were told to put everything we had into a corporation, a risk-taking corporation, intended to make money or lose money. And he said nobody else in America would do that. Nobody else would take everything they've got and put it into a risk-taking venture. And he said, but we were forced to, because those were the terms of the settlement. Congress said you get $962.5 million, you get 44 million acres, but it goes into these corporations. And if the corporations make money, that's fine. If they lose money, your land is at risk. So there's really a lot of dissatisfaction in Alaska, and people are in some places very bitter about it all because they didn't get jobs from the corporations and they haven't got dividends from the corporations, and now they discover the land is at risk, so they feel that it wasn't much of a settlement. And yet many non-natives in Alaska say, hey, you got all this land and all this money, so you must be well off. One of the other things that's apparent, you know, when you travel in Alaska, is that Congress said, look, you're going to be brought into the mainstream of American business. You know, that was the idea. And Native people would be the managers of the corporations, and they would be the employees, and they would learn all about business. And that's important. And for some Native people in Alaska, they have learned about business and have become managers, and in some cases have managed corporations well, and those corporations have turned a profit. But for the great majority of people, there was no future in the corporations for them. There was no prospect of employment. The great majority of corporations haven't paid dividends. Just about everybody who's spoken here today has said, I never saw any dividends. So that Congress thought that people would be involved in these corporations as managers, employees, and they thought that the profits from the corporations would provide a stream of income over the years to the Native people. Well, none of it worked out that way. Now, it seems to me, and I've said this in Alaska many times, so I don't mind repeating it here, that Congress really didn't consider what it is like to go into business in the Arctic and subarctic regions of North America. And of course, the same is true in Canada and in Greenland. That is, if you go to one of those villages in the Bering Sea, there was somebody here who mentioned Teller. Now, Teller's one of the places I haven't been to, but if it's anything like the other Eskimo villages on the Bering Sea, there's a store and there's a school and there's maybe a pool hall and a church. But there isn't really anything that you can do by way of setting up a business. The climate and the geography, the distance from markets are all against you. You know, if you decide you want to set up a factory to manufacture Toyotas, you don't go to Teller, Alaska, to do it. You go to California or some other place that's close to the markets. And I mean that. I mean, you could take Lee Iacocca and you could take him to Teller, Alaska and say, all right, you've now got a corporation and we're giving you $100,000. Let's see you sell some cars. And pretty hard to do, especially if there's nobody around with any money to buy them and no roads to travel on and no need for cars. So I know there's a feeling that I've heard all over Alaska and I've heard here today that, well, these corporations were mismanaged and so on and so forth. But just bear this in mind. Now, a lot of you belong to Sea Alaska, and that's in the more temperate zone of Alaska where there is a fishery and timber and so on and so forth. But for many corporations in the true Arctic and subarctic regions of Alaska, there was really no possibility of going into business. There was no business to go into, unless they took all the money and socked it in the bank in Anchorage and said, okay, we'll just earn the interest and send a check to everybody every month. Now, a few corporations did that. They looked around and said, there's nothing to do here. A place like Hooslea on the Yukon River, where people are hunting and fishing and trapping, there's a store in the village and that's all. And there's a somebody works as a custodian at the school, but there aren't any real prospects of going into business. They took their money, put it in a bank, and I think they bought some real estate in Fairbanks. Now, they said to the people in Hooslea, well, now look, we're not going to be able to give you any jobs because there's nothing we can do here. There may be a native store already run by native people. Do you want us to go into business, into competition against somebody in this village? Didn't want them to do that, so they put the money in the bank and they send everybody a little check every year, and that's the best they can do. Others tried to go into business. They opened bakeries and they opened this and they opened that, and usually they lost because the odds were against them. And I'm just saying that having traveled around Canada in the Arctic for 3 years, holding hearings in native communities, Eskimo and Indian communities, and now in Alaska, there are limited economic opportunities in the Arctic and subarctic, and to expect that you could have 200 native corporations and 12 regional corporations, not to mention the 13th corporation, go out there and all go into business and be successful, it was just never going to happen. It wasn't on the cards. So all I'm saying is that you should, I'm not saying you should, but you might consider the folks trying to run these corporations, in a way, were up against a stacked deck. That's all. And now some corporations, a few village corporations have done well. Some of the regional corporations are doing well, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's very many native people employed there. It means they may be making a profit and they may send out dividend checks. But it doesn't mean that there are necessarily a lot of native people employed in those corporations, the money-making ones. And there certainly aren't very many native people employed in the ones that don't make money. In Alaska, a gentleman asked me to say how people are thinking about it there. They're really concerned that they could lose the land because, of course, in many of those villages, people still live off the land. The idea that you're going to have wage and salaried employment for all the people in those villages is simply a mistaken idea. I don't think that in my lifetime or the lifetime of anybody here in this room, there will be wage and salaried employment for all the people in those villages. I've been to those villages in Canada and Alaska. It's just not going to happen. There will be a few jobs. Somebody will work in the school. Maybe we'll get more native teachers and they'll work in the school. Maybe we'll get somebody in the store and, I don't know, somebody delivering fuel and somebody running the water truck. But for everybody else, it's not as if there's a pulp mill down the road where everybody goes off with a lunch bucket every day. So subsistence, hunting and fishing and trapping, that's the principal economic activity that ties those villages together. And now they find that the land they got that they're using for subsistence is in jeopardy. And they feel very, in some places, very angry about it. They say, look, this was no settlement. Then they're confronted with the choice, 1991. We're told that we have to decide whether or not to sell our shares. Well, in many places, folks are not people with jobs, not people with a steady income, and they're worried they might be forced to sell their shares because they might have to feed their families or to put a new roof on the house or something. And they know that in that way, control of the corporations and the land could slip out of native hands. So that's a kind of a capsule of the feeling in the villages in Alaska, even in the urban centers. Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau and Ketchikan. People are concerned about the land. They may not be using the land, but they say that's us. That's part of what it means to be Tlingit or Haida or Inupiat or Yupik, Athabascan, Tsimshian. And they say we want to make sure that land stays in native ownership. So this is a, maybe I, this is a settlement that has had some good features. It was a lot of money, and it was a lot of land. And it was a kind of a breakthrough for Native people and in other countries. I know where I come from, in Canada, especially in the Arctic. The Eskimos and the Indians are using it and saying, we want this kind of settlement. And they've now started to sign settlements with the government of Canada. And they've gotten, actually, they've gotten settlements that are more generous in terms of land and money than what Alaska Natives got. They also are saying, we don't want any of this 1991 stuff. And they are getting settlements where they don't have to worry about losing the land. They are getting settlements that strengthen hunting and fishing and trapping rights, where the children participate. It goes on from generation to generation. There are no shares. You can't go out and sell your share. If you're a Native person, part of the tribe or the group, well, you are, and you enjoy the use of the land, but you can't go off and say, I'm selling my part of this. So the Alaskan settlement did some good things. I mean, it was a lot of land and it was a lot of money. It has, though, what are perceived to be flaws. Most people here think of them as flaws, and in Alaska they do, so I guess we're entitled to call them that, threaten continued Native ownership of the land, and that's the thing that Alaska Natives are most concerned about more than anything else. So that's what they're saying. That's what they've been saying to me for a year. Yes, ma'am.
There are many corporations in the United States. What is so different about ours? What does Congress, the congressional people in at the White House, want from our corporations?
Well, the Native corporations were set up by Congress in 1971, and they said, well, we want Native people to come into the mainstream of American business. We want them to be shareholders, and we want them to be people who are running businesses and working for those businesses. That's what the Native corporations are all about. Now, in an ordinary corporation, all the shares can be bought and sold. I mean, if you want to buy a share in General Motors, you can go down to a brokerage house here and buy it. And the next day, you can go back and you can sell it. But because these were to be Native corporations for 20 years, they said only Native people can hold the shares for 20 years. Only Native people can vote the shares for 20 years. But Congress intended that after the 20 years was over, that those shares would be bought and sold like anybody else's shares, and that Native people might sell their shares to non-Natives. And Native people would take the money and they'd go and buy shares in other corporations. Or they'd invest it in bonds or IRAs, or, you know, I don't mind.
Congress, ahead of with the other corporations that are non-Native.
Is Congress what?
Are the people at the White House, are they ahead in leading the other corporations like they are leading us?
Well, I think that we're really dealing with the intent that Congress had back in 1971. The bill was signed by President Nixon. I think they felt it was a great step forward, that it would bring Native people into the mainstream of American business, and they thought it was a great experiment, and they thought it was they thought it represented progress, and now we're finding that, like most human institutions, it hasn't really worked out the way people had hoped it would. And so people are looking at overhauling it, and that's why we're here, to listen to what you think. Well, we've got a couple of folks who want to speak here, and I've...
My name is Lauren James. I spoke earlier this today. I'd like to address a few issues regarding 1991. As several people mentioned, I quite agree with them that we really can't continue as we have been. We've had how many years now since 1971, and we haven't had even a cent of dividends. And besides, and another issue along with that among those eight resolutions that they have so-called proposed to us, they want to open membership to all the people that were born after 1971 that right now are not shareholders. And if we do that, I would like to point out what history has shown when that happens are similar situations. There have been other tribes in the stateside, not in Alaska, that have ended up having each tribal member owning something like 15 cents worth of land because of the population explosion. Come 1991, there will be some 40,000 new potential shareholders. See, Alaska, which I belong to, would be worthless. We will have, sure, our children will be sharing with us, but they will be mostly non-natives, and they'll be sharing mostly nothing. Is that what we want? I don't. I think we need to maintain as much control as we can. Secondly, I think it's important that these eight resolutions receive strong opposition. I don't know how many of you attended the workshop, so-called, set up by Sea Alaska, well, AFN, and taken here, brought here by the board of directors. But they said they weren't taking a side, but everybody there was tended to be influenced toward accepting native ownership. But native ownership of what? And for the benefit of whom? We can't, as it is right now, we can't even use our land. We can't hunt and fish there. I think that we need to separate the land from control of the board of directors and put it into, I don't know, some type of trust, but not under the control of Sea Alaska. And I think one of the best ways we can do that is to vote for directors that have those goals in mind. And the present directors, at least close to half of them, or at least the controlling share, aren't doing that. They're in favor of these eight resolutions, which will essentially destroy any control that we natives, shareholders have. So when you get those proxies sent out to you this coming elections, pay attention to who you are voting for. Are you voting for a friend just because they're a friend? Find out what they're saying. We can have control of this corporation yet. Time is short. This may be our last chance. If these eight resolutions get passed and Congress, the United States Congress, if they pass the amendments to ANCSA, we're lost. There is no more hope. That's all I have to say.
Yes, you wanted to speak? Berger.
My name is Christine Smith, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm here in Seattle for just a few years to go to school since there's no specialty schools in Fairbanks, the University of Alaska. First of all, I'm a little bit nervous. One of my professors is here in the audience. So I've heard a lot of complaints from people about their corporation. I would like to say that I have a lot of complaints about my corporation too, which is Doyon, but they are giving me scholarships every quarter, you know, throughout these 3 years so that I can go to school. And I know that a lot of my friends and other family members are also going to school on scholarships, and many of them have jobs in Fairbanks. And, you know, that to me is really valuable. But I disagree very much with the concept of corporations for American Native groups. Just like during the time of the allotment era, when land was given away to individual Indians in the lower 48 in an attempt to make them into farmers. I feel like the corporate structure is given to us to make us businessmen and businesswomen. And I don't know about you, but for me and for my family, it doesn't work very well. We don't know how to read the balance sheets, and the proxies are very strange to us. We know about voting, but we've never heard of a proxy before, and the statements are very strange, and a lot of people just toss them in the garbage, not realizing that this is the only chance they have to participate in their own self-government. I don't think Congress realized when they passed the Claims Act how important the land is to Native Americans, not just in Alaska, but all over the lower 48. However, in Alaska, we don't live on reservations. We live just out in the open, just in villages and small communities and in the larger towns. And those people who do live outside the town really don't have an idea of how much land they own. They own, or they use, as much land as it takes in order for them to keep body and soul together, keep their families together. And this land is part of, I guess, their identity, our identity. The land is very important. It's part of the religion. It's part of the heritage. And to put a dollar value on it would be something that would come from Congress or from England or Switzerland or something, but it doesn't come from traditional American Indian life and values. And I'm really disappointed that Congress did not consider how important land is to the culture and the beliefs of the people that they are passing these laws for. And we're not the only people who are facing this problem. There are people all over the world, well, not in Europe, but in Australia, Canada, places like that, who are native to that land. And their land also has been taken away, and in some cases, many cases, no compensation given. Here, at least, we have a chance for some kind of compensation for the land that has been taken or may be taken. But I would like everyone who has a complaint about the corporate structure, the 1991 provisions, to come forward and say something, because people all over the world are looking at the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. And at first, it looked like a really great deal. It looked wonderful. And a lot of governments around the world wanted to copy this act, and maybe they still do. And I think it's very important for us to stand up and say, we don't like it. This does not represent what we want and what we want for our children. And so I would encourage anyone who feels uncomfortable speaking in front of the public like I do just to come up anyway and say that, because it does go on record. And even if Congress isn't listening, there are a lot of people in the rest of the world who are listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Cecilia Morstead, and I'm a shareholder in the Sea Alaska and also belong to the Kutznu Corporation, which is in Angoon, Alaska, my hometown and the village where I was born. I don't like what's happening. We've held several meetings. If you have to speak, please. I get nervous speaking in front of people myself. This is the time to be hurt. Speak up and say what you have on your heart and on your mind. I don't feel like I have a corporation. We've been outsiders since the corporation began. The corporation is run by a few select people who are highly paid. None of us have ever received any dividends. Since 1971, it is now 1985. You look at the money. I have papers, boxes of papers. I have not thrown one paper away that I have received from my village and from Sea Alaska. And I look at their salaries, and it just makes me ill. The compensations they have, the health benefits they have, the free cars they have, the gas that is provided for them. When they come down here to talk to us, they don't listen to us. While they're living in the fanciest hotels, we humbly come and try to listen to them. But everybody, I think, even including myself, is tired of it. We try to elect some men that we thought we could have faith in that would represent us. They run us down. The same people have been voted in year after year after year. And what have we got to show for it? Nothing. They won't even answer our phone calls. I tried to put in a phone call several weeks ago to ask some questions, and they told me they would not accept my phone call. Last year, I was not paid. I went from house to house with proxies. I live in Tacoma, and a lot of our people, there are many people in Tacoma area that cannot come and attend these meetings, although they would like to. So my husband and I spent hours. We didn't get one penny. We didn't ask for it. Just to inform them about the meetings, taking the proxies by ourselves, and talking to the people ourselves, and trying to see just what they felt. It was no different from the way I feel. My mother and my father live in the village I was born and raised in. They're not happy. Kutznu, who the village, the corporation, other corporation that I belong to, is doing the same thing. They have never given us a dividend. When you read in black and white how much money has been given to them and the large salaries they are drawing, some of them have just been returning from Hawaii with their wives. It makes me very sick. It makes me feel so sorry for my people. It was because of them I could have gone the other way and say, well, I want my money. But I was thinking of my people when I went village. Little did I know what they had in store for me. It speaks for itself, I think, the corporations on what they are doing. They travel around. We come here. We listen to them. I know how many hundred times I've sat in here. I never said a word. So any one of you here that has anything upon their heart that they want to say, now is the time to speak up. Don't be afraid. I quit being afraid a long time ago. I'm proud to be an Indian. I fought, I represented my village when we were fighting for the Settlement Act. I went to many conventions. We thought it was going to be for the best for our children. I remember my grandfather and uncle saying, it's for our children, our grandchildren. Thank you for listening to me. I could go on and on and on, but I want to give somebody else a chance to speak. And I just pray, the Lord knows what is going on. My only consolation is that He knows. I have faith that's beyond my own understanding at times, and He will take care of these things in due time. I have to console myself with those thoughts when at times I just can't stand it anymore. So thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank
Very
you.
Kind.
My name is Tom Dalton. I'm a shareholder in Sea Alaska. it's kind of ironic that only 250 years ago, the people that placed us in this position of being a corporation were the indigenous people at the time. They first came over to America. It was the American natives, and which they call us Indians at the time they first came over, that that they came over because of being dissident against their own country. And now we are under their power now, and they have grown to be the most powerful nation in the world. And they could not have done it without our country, our land. I did not vote for our people to be placed in corporations. I wanted to get per capita myself. I wanted the opportunity to throw the money away the way I wanted to, and not a group of people that wanted to throw it away for me, which is happening right now. I could have thrown away $1 million by going around the world or buying myself a fancy Cadillac. I know one thing. I decided to go back to school, in which I am still in school, and I was fortunate enough to graduate from a university last December, which is Seattle Pacific University. During that 5 years I was in undergraduate school, I received $900 from my corporation. And when I asked them for a job after my second year in the university, they said that I could not get on a job because I was only a sophomore in a university. And after I graduated from from Shoreline Community College, I was asked by a couple of board members to come to work for the corporation. I told them that after I graduate and complete my education, I would be their boss. And for, I would also like to place a congratulations to that young lady that was up here earlier for continuing her education. For we do need our people to be educated. Our I did not know nothing about large corporations. These large conglomerate corporations, or the dealings of what a corporation had to do. And I believe right now, to this day, there are no one in this room that knows how a large corporation is supposed to be run. I know I don't.